Hello, everyone. I'm Belinda He, now teaching in the Department of Film and Media Studies at University of Oklahoma. I'm very delighted and honored to share as a former CLEAR Fellow here. I seek to give voices to the mute context behind some unconventional archival work. While those are shadowy sites, largely obscure or unseen archival sites, it exposes more than concealed. With the help of CLEAR Fellowship and other funding opportunities between 2017 and 2019, I conducted my archival field work for my dissertation project, which is now a book project, Expose and Punish, a trial by moving images in China and beyond. Explores the complex interrelation between photographic cinematic media and socialist criminal justice and violence driven by a singular and overarching system of partitioning coded in the term class in China. My work focuses on historical practices of struggle sessions and assemblage or gathering in which people labeled as class enemies were accused, were tormented in public, and also what I call the pedo form, the shared visual and spatial mechanism of those gathering and practices, which is portable and it even goes beyond a specific historical period. People have widely cited Derrida's words in Archival Fever about archivization. That produces as much as it records events. If such a description of archivization points to the nature of knowledge production by archivists, librarians, news media, and professional institutes for archive preservation, I have always considered archival research less as a project of fact finding through textual examination and more as co-production, self-archiving, and fundamentally ethnographic encounter. An ethnographic understanding of archival research serves to honor the voices of the people with whom I speak within and beyond archival sites. It honors both original and mediated voices of the archives themselves, and also the uncanny, parallel, and contradictory elements in our encounter with space, materials, and people. While due to time restriction, I cannot elaborate on the key terms that I use to organize my expectations. Experiences of archival work in my CLEAR report, spatial exploration, file knowledge, and friendship as a method. I hope to share my re self-reflection on archival work through one keyword, circulation, today. Historically, the first perspective is to see circulation recycling as integral to the material mobility of archival materials in the time of their own historical specific production, as well as across temporal borders. I need to not overlook importance and material mobilities and ephemeral media. One group of materials stand out in my collection, the incriminating catalogs as a transmedia genre, the systematically listed and ordered collection of bad subjects as evidence displayed for the purpose of public shaming and punishment. As you can see here, a few examples defined through their circulation. 100 clown images as a photo montage on wall posters, as sets of postcards, as crowdsourced artifacts produced, collected, curated, and shown on display. Those materials were always on the move, pushing me to understand, rethink those archival practices in terms of circulation as a historical construction per se. Theoretically, the notion of circulation helps me to navigate questions including how is justice visible, how does images shame, or how does cinema police or punish? Where historians usually hold onto an obsession with a very original at the core of a historical investigation, the allure of the archives is that meaning is discovered through the act of copying and recopying. Furthermore, recycling echoes and goes beyond copy making by making sense of the fragments of past time lost and found from archives. Recycling promises a journey where meanings are rediscovered and remade through the gap and negotiation between the new and the old. If a previously filmed material is lost by being either hidden, overlooked, or under-examined, it's found once its temporality is shifted. For me, this is a key perspective from which found image, found footage can be understood as a kind of human encounter with moving images, or rather, one's relationship to the archives, which defines and mediates itself in the intertwined act of recycling and circulation. Such a relationship fundamentally communicates different temporalities and blurs their borderlines. The third perspective is a methodological one about found footage as archive. due to ongoing restrictions in the access to certain official archival materials between 1949 and 76 housed in China's site-specific archival sites and closure of film archives, have to rediscover and work in a set of unconventional archival sites. Those included non-official library, private museum, industrial repository, flea market, and a personal storage room. I intended to shift my focus from what was officially claimed to be the unavailable to those, you know, overlooked, forgotten, or suppressed from dominant official archives and narratives. During the whole process, the notions of archive, archival genre, and archival site remain in flux and were redefined all the time. I also investigate online bookstores, image databases, oral historical accounts, and other virtual archives. And I consider those as both primary and secondary sources. Found footage became one of the most crucial and stimulating archival genres, as well as a mode of thinking. Thinking about circulation analytically, I have encountered warframe moving images, both unnamed, unidentifiable, or even misidentified across library, museum, film archives, and the digital marketplace. Found footage offers me a methodological possibility to recognize and value the lost, the silenced, and the forgotten voices that challenge conventional historiographies and test the boundary of public knowledge production. I intend to keep audiovisual economies alive as they examine those orphan images in their recycled narratives side by side with their archived versions. Then it allows for migrating archive of political violence, which would have all but disappeared and perhaps never have become available for us today. Acknowledging the crucial role of found footage in transnational visual economies and historiographic inquiries enables access to a new past and calls into question the old cinematic medium itself. A practical example is about piece of found footage traveling from my archival collection to the corpus of my pedagogical experiments. I recycled the archival footage in conjunction with clips and images from other source films to make a videographic essay called Cinema as Show Trial, as you can see here. I juxtaposed two sets of footage and play with the split screen and audiovisual designers. The footage from the contemporary documentary Mao in Color, which is on the right, was showing parallel with footage from Chinese socialist documentary Great Land Reform on the right, on the left, which was replayed and repackaged through contemporary Chinese central television station, the Nostalgia Theater Channel. I see both pieces of recycled archival footage as mutually resonant in the aftermath of their ideologically antagonistic production. The two films were shot more or less in the same period. On the one hand, supposedly found two fully opposed perspectives within the Cold War context. And yet, on the other hand, with a highly similar compositional details and emotionally charged human looks. In some way, two pieces of footage speak to and testify to each other as two possible versions of the struggle session. Cinema as Show Trial is more an invitation to a thought experiment than a found footage film. A collaborative project of self-theorizing is at play here for viewers and the video maker myself, who are symbolically put on trial and tested for whether or not we are rethinking the pedo form without being trapped in the Cold War ideological framework and mentality. So to conclude, I'd like to invite everyone to think further based on this. How to take images more seriously in our archival work. They are much more than illustrations or supplementary materials for the written text. Among those scholarly debates around use of images as historical sources or historiography versus historiophoto since the 1990s, both historians and legal scholars have raised quite a few issues. In line with those efforts to rethink the potentiality and limits of images as archive, I propose border boundary crossing archival thinking would help us to know that the history of image and violence I'm tracing here could be fully produced and known only through an enduring process of its dynamic and even belated circulation as a production self. It also enables new archival accesses and redefines archive itself. As my archival work further developed, the following question found their way into my ongoing research agenda and methodological commitments. So what can we learn from those questionable, problematic images and footage? What happens when scholars somehow rely on unofficial, unconventional sources, flea markets, and roam in everyday moving image archives, even reinvent archival genres? How do we develop our relationships to such sources, particular vernacular images in circulation? I'd like to continue my inquiries in conversation with Roseberg concerning amateur cinema, ephemeral materials, and vernacular photography, film footage, and archival film practice within a global context. And that's all for today. Thank you. I'm looking forward to any question or feedback that you have. And I really appreciate that.